Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Ask the Accountant, your weekly episode of Aaron and Johan putting the world to rights about everything in the accounting and bookkeeping world. This is episode 77. We are cracking on there, Aaron. And it is the 15th of April, 2024, just so that you can put all of our comments, thoughts into context of the timeline of the world. As always this week, I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Aaron Patrick. Aaron, how are you and how was your weekend?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good weekend. So looking forward to cracking on this weekend, get things done and dusted. We've got a few live shows and stuff, haven't we? So yeah, it's a positive mindset. Looking forward to cracking on with it. I think this, we spoke about it last week, but the start of this year has actually gone really well, financial year. So yeah, keep cracking on with it, going through there. What about you? How was your weekend, Ben?
I had a chilled weekend. I managed to find like an hour in between the on and off rain showers and sunshine in Edinburgh to be able to get out and cut the grass. So that was a bonus. But I have made a decision. I am no longer going to be a Neanderthal with a lawnmower and push that around once a week. I'm getting a robotic lawnmower. I've decided. I'm fed up with this grass cutting. Like, it's all right for people in England, where when you get sunshine, you get it for like most of the day. Me, I'm dodging in between showers at the moment. And every time I'm not in a meeting, it's raining. And every time I'm in a meeting, it's sunshine. So yeah, I'm fed up of trying to mow the lawn. So I'm getting a robotic lawnmower. That's the plan.
I like it.
I've always thought of myself as quite an early adopter of tech. What's really upsetting me is my mother-in-law got a robotic lawnmower at the start of this year.
So you've been outdone by your mother-in-law.
Yeah, I'm just this monkey pushing a lawnmower around my lawn while my mother-in-law sat at home having a cup of tea, watching her lawnmower cut the lawn for her. It's been upsetting me for a while, but this weekend was the final straw. I'm getting on with it. It's going to be an expensive weekend by the end of it, I imagine.
Expensive weekend, but I'm looking forward to the content that you're going to do with it, surely. I mean,
well, between that and the robotic Hoover that hoovers this 3-meter by 2-meter office that I can't be asked to Hoover. Yeah, automation all the way, people.
I like it.
It is the way forwards.
I like it.
Right. Okay, everybody. We are going live across all of our usual platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc. So let's have a look at who's joining us. So we have got Paul. Good morning to you, sir. Good morning to Natasha. Good morning to Cheryl. Good morning to Victoria. Good morning, Mr. Ashley Leeds. Anything exciting this happening? Oh, I've got some time waster wants to chat to me about Wednesday lunchtime about some event that's coming up. I don't know. He's getting very excited about it. It's a non-event, I think, in my mind. But yeah, no, we are both looking forward to that, aren't we? On Wednesday, 12:30 on LinkedIn, people.
Give away some industry secrets about how we're going to do Ask the Accountant Pit Stop podcast and talk about how this could be the biggest grid walk of all time. It's not.
I'm buying hiking shoes.
We've had to buy a whole new rig so that poor Lizzie can get the camera across the room. So yeah,
told you, gym membership. But yeah, so Aaron and I will be talking to Mr. Ashley Leeds live on LinkedIn, 12:30 on Wednesday, all about what's to look forward to on Accountex in London.
And he gets the scoop. He gets the scoop.
Oh yes. Right, and carrying on, we've got good morning to Kirsty, good morning to Dave, Paul as well. She's just reminding everyone, it will be at 12:30 on here in LinkedIn. Kirsty's got the grass cut, 4 bags to the tip as well.
Sorry. Whoa. Don't you have a brown bin that you just whack it in? You have a brown bin in Scotland, don't you?
That she needs to get rid of. I've got brown bins, yeah, I mean. In Scotland, we're very environmental. I've got brown bins, grey bins, green bins, blue bins. My glass bottle bin changes every time someone nicks it. They just send me a different coloured bin.
Every time someone nicks it. I'm not sure that should be how you should be talking about your glass bottle bin, but there we go. That's a different climate.
One of those plastic boxes, so it's actually quite useful storage. So if someone goes, oh, actually, I need a new one of them, they should pick it up off the street once you've had it emptied. I want to see all about buying process with your robot lawn care expert. Oh, yeah, I will. But my mother-in-law knows a man. He promised me, won't sell me anything I don't need. Now, this is the same man that sold my mother-in-law stickers to go on her robotic lawnmower so it looks like a ladybird with eyes. Because if it's not got eyes, how can it see where it's going?
Wow.
Bless her. But Marcus does a very good job at keeping the lawn cut. Though, yeah, boom, Accountex is going to be huge this year. Yeah, we are so looking forward to it, aren't we? Like,
yeah,
we fab, followed by Accountex. It's just going to be an incredible event. I think everyone's hyped up, ready for that now. Oh, okay, let's actually get into some content. So we have got news. There's been an acquisition, Aaron.
There has.
Employment Hero have made a purchase in Australia, no less, which is Employment Hero's home ground. That's where they were started and took off from. So Employment Hero have brought a payroll firm, basically, that delivers payroll services, which is an interesting direction. So yeah, thoughts on this, Aaron?
Well, I'm confused a little bit about this because the way they're like pushing this news is Employment Hero by Aussie firm to enable our mission to create the world's smartest, most accurate AI for payroll. So is it more than just a firm? Is it more than just a payroll firm? Is there anything else here that they've bought? I mean, they bought KeePay what?
Three years ago.
So they have the payroll platform done and dusted, right? And like you said here, this, from what we were kind of seeing or what we heard or what we looked at when we did some research, it looks like it's a payroll company who's going to
payroll bureau.
Yeah, exactly. But then when the topic or the press article, I mean, to be fair, they've also appointed a special group on global brand. They appoint special group, which is a firm, for their global brand brief. So maybe this new special group, this UK-based business, also decided to put a nice little spin on it. And it's not just a payroll bureau, but it's an AI play, because we all know how AI plays a great way of pushing the clicks up. Yeah, exactly. Good keyword use there. But I suppose if they're interested in building AI, right?
Yeah, I suppose if they're interested in building AI, AI's got to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
AI learns from watching. If you're not processing the payrolls yourself, how does AI learn from you? If you're just software, so having an offering of all-inclusive payroll bureau powered by Employment Hero technology kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Do we think this is going to be in Australia the version like? The payroll, what QuickBooks Live is to America's the American QuickBooks software, where they've got accountants and bookkeepers technically employed by QuickBooks for QuickBooks Live and have done for years now, and that offers the bookkeeping, accounting, and the software package in America. Do we think that's what we'll see in Australia with this new Australian payroll bureau, which also teaches their AI?
Yeah. Because we've said a long time, haven't we, that the payroll space needs some innovation, right? Like we need someone to come along with a syringe and just put a shot into it. Because all we ever see at the moment with the payroll platforms are them just trying to catch up. Like they're trying to go cloud. They're trying to go and to bad like results at this point in time. We've had software taken off the market. We've had software not fit for purpose with software with issues, blah, 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 right? And we need that innovation. So is this the start of that? What do you think?
I don't know. The payroll software industry really irritates me. Does the payroll software industry really irritate you?
It definitely did.
Bookkeepers, when it comes to their approach to payroll software, really irritates me, put it that way. Because we're all so obsessed with, oh, well, BrightPay or MoneySoft only cost me this much a year to have on my desktop. But cloud software is going to cost me this much per payslip. That's too expensive. It's like, well, but you're not comparing like for like functionality. No. So you need, and ultimately, like, desktop isn't going to be the future. We've seen that in bookkeeping. We've seen that in accounts. We're seeing it everywhere. We need to accept it and move on. And the power you can get from having a cloud-based software, you can't go and plug AI into a desktop software. Well, you probably can, but it's going to take forever and it's going to be pointless. Yeah. Like, you know, Bright launched Bright Cloud last year. For various reasons, it failed miserably, mainly because the functionality wasn't on par with the desktop software. If you're going to go cloud, you've got to have at least on par, if not superior, because you've got to pay, charge them more.
Unless you're QuickBooks desktop.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, I just think the biggest challenge that any payroll software has got in the UK is our mindset as accountants and bookkeepers is, well, that's £500 a year for desktop, and that keeps me compliant. That's £500 a month, and it gets some bells and whistles, which I don't care about because it benefits my clients, not me.
But does it? I mean,
well, it does, depending on which tool you use, because we have to remember not all cloud softwares are as automatic and efficient as Employment Hero are.
KeePay, yeah. But you would have thought every cloud based one, maybe I'm naive because I haven't properly looked into the other payroll clouds. I've never looked at FreshPay. I've never looked at BrightPay's cloud functionality. But you would expect, as a bare minimum, that there's some sort of client portal. And just a client portal is a huge step in efficiency, right? That idea that you don't have to send out some sort of collection form for a new employee from your client. Your client literally, and for every client, every employee I ever bring on now, they get a URL. Their own one, they go in, and it's off to them then to provide us their bank details, provide us their address, provide us a P45. But, you know, now they're sophisticated enough to go and look at, do they need certain checks? Do they need certain certifications? Blah, 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 blah. You know, that whole onboarding process, I would imagine, as every cloud provider out there as a minimum, surely that's just that alone is the efficiency you need to go, actually, yeah, that's worth investing in. That's worth a bit of extra money here and there, because you've got to see there must be a massive amount of savings there alone, surely.
Yeah. I've always seen the savings. As you know, I've got a very strong case study for the power of cloud bookkeeping, but those that have been doing it for 20 years using the same software do not see it, because actually the only way they're going to make those savings is by redundancies, because we're putting people out of work because we don't need 5 team members to deliver what cloud accounting might allow to be done with 2 or 3 team members. If you're starting out and you're growing, it's now is the time, because you're going to save so much money in the long run. But the pain point to go from desktop to cloud and gain all those efficiencies, you've got to reallocate that person's, you know, 1 or 2 people's potential workload, working time elsewhere, or shrink the team. It's a painful way to get to the efficiency. but yeah, my biggest concern in the payroll software is that it's constantly changing and it requires constant attention because of HMRC and the government, right?
Yeah. And it's confusing, right? Like, even QuickBooks have 2-tiered approach. They have their core and their advance, and that from a, you know, forget us accountants, like we muddle around and figure it out, but for the end consumer, they must be well confused. And
yeah,
and like Xero have a paywall product, right? People don't like it much, but it is still a cloud-based paywall product that from a consumer point of view must be efficient, must do everything they ever need, right? I feel like that's the bit, like in the bookkeeping world, in the FMS world, it's actually really easy to put that, like, oh, go to Xero for this functionality, or go to QuickBooks for this functionality, or, you know, you're best off doing free agent for that type of business and that type of industry. When it comes to payroll, it still feels like it's a little bit out up in the open, because there's no definitive, oh, this has that. I mean, Paul's just said here that FreshPay, that he thinks is really good, and hopefully it works perfectly for his firm, but there's a manual collection, but FreshPay has a client approval process in front of it. And again, like those little things where that's massively different to the software we use, that should be standardized by now, surely. Like, surely, yeah. Like, we're not asking for much for people to, or the payroll products to look at each other and go, right, what does that software provide that we don't, and how do we get to the point where we can be on par with them? It feels but like
the problem not, we've got is in the payroll software, right? If we compare that to practice management,
yeah,
you know, I've got a bit of experience in that. In practice management, we can look around at our competitors and go, they've got that feature. How do we build that? How do we better it? Payroll softwares, especially small startup ones, like the client engagers of the payroll software world, haven't got the time to do that because they're constantly going, right, new legislation, new tax rates, new national insurance brackets, new pay minimum wages, etc. They're so focused on maintaining the legal element that they've got to spend even more money if they want to develop going forwards, which is why I love my small startup softwares, but I, in payroll world, I just don't see how the small startup softwares without it backing can both develop the product and maintain the legal side, which is why I think we see so little improvement in the products within the payroll world, because everyone's so focused on just maintaining the, oh Christ, the government's just announced new minimum wages and whatever else is coming out. You know, like there's new changes being proposed at the moment where they want your hours reported on the RTI. As a responsible payroll software, they're now going to have to go and look at that. And that's the priority, because that becomes potentially a legal requirement over how do we collect the client's payroll information at an early stage. So the only people that have got the opportunity to really do that product development are the big boys, the employment heroes, the QuickBooks, the Xeros, etc. of the world. So it's a really tough space. And then you've got to work out, how can you do that? You know, we've got this mindset of, well, desktop software costs me £500 a year. Why am I paying cloud software £500 a month? So we've got to get that down on affordability. So someone reached out to me on LinkedIn over the weekend. They built their own payroll software, and they want to have a chat with me about how running client engage is going and stuff. And I looked at their website, and straight away it's like, no chance. You're starting at £5 per employee, and that's just them, just for the software. That,
yeah, exactly.
You speak all the time about how it's always a race to the bottom with payroll. And it's like, well, if that's how much it costs per payslip, how do we then build profitability for our time and our expertise on top of that in a very bargain basement side of the industry? So, you know, I look at employment here, and what is it, £2 per payslip, per employee per month, regardless of the amount of payslips or something? And it's like, well, so even that one, which is £5, to be fair, is one of the cheaper cloud softwares I've looked at. And I've looked at it and gone, that's twice the price. Like, I wouldn't even consider looking at how much functionality it is, because I know I've probably got one of the best payroll softwares out there for functionality.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper than what you're offering. And it's a big boy where I'm confident that the development's going to continue both on product and the legislation side. So, yeah,
I think we've made a rod of our own back, and especially our firm, we never nail payroll, but we talk about it all the time, right? And this whole race to the bottom mentality is a big topic we always talk about. But we didn't help ourselves by the fact we've created ourselves a three-tier payroll system. Like, we have our directors only. Then we have one where we need to be involved, and because we can automate directors only, right? And we don't need to worry. We set and forget. Well, is our mentality.
You can't in all softwares. Like,
not in all softwares.
Software, you can't, even in cloud softwares, you can't guarantee automation of director only payrolls.
Yeah.
Like, you can in Employment Hero, but yeah. And QuickBooks Payroll Bureau, you can.
Yeah, and I use KPM Payroll.
KPM, you can, yeah.
Works well. Like, but it's still like, even though we've got that technology and we're able to leverage on that and everything else, we've then made it even complicated, because then we have a tier above that where we help them, and we, you know, they provide us information, we process them on a monthly basis, weekly basis, whatever they want, and kind of go through from there and fee depending. And then we have a tier on top of that where, well, here's some employment hero benefits as well. Here's your HR platform, and trying to make it so that it's, you know, it's got value to it, and we help them make the payment runs and all that sort of stuff. And even from our point, every time we talk to a client about our payroll, it's this, all right, you sat down because we're going to have to go through this conversation with you. And we can make as much glossy, like, imagery, and we can make as much of a PDF and a video and all that sort of stuff as we can. But we're still, even us, like, we're still making it so complicated for the end user to understand, well, what payroll do I, why am I paying almost like, you know, close to 50 quid for this service per employee, but it's a fiver for this one, you know, what's the differential and things like that. Yeah. And it's such a tricky conversation for us to even sell it, let alone find the software that can help us provide that and go through from there. So I really feel like we're in a, and as you said, without that innovation, without with HMRC changing the game and the goalposts all the time, it's so difficult for innovation to come in and help us on this one. So yeah, I feel for those smaller ones. I think I hadn't really considered it properly, but I think you're right. Like, they're just going to constantly be just chasing that requirement of the compliance issue. That's all they're going to change. And as you alluded to there, this massive changes coming, or potentially coming, if it all goes through. Like, how are they going to cope with having to put P11Ds onto the software going forward? You know, like, if P11Ds are gone and then we've got to report them directly in the software, that's a big ask for the software developers, isn't it? And yeah, again, HMRC just seem to expect the software developers just to bow down and provide it for them.
I think that's because HMRC don't consider, and neither does the government, startup softwares. They're all thinking of the big boys that sit around the table and go, yeah, okay, we can do that, because the big boys have got the resources to do it. It's like when people say to client engage, oh, you do such a great job of practice management, why don't you do accounts and tax returns? Like, just trying to maintain that would be a full-on job. Like, the constant change in legislation would be a nightmare. And that doesn't change half as quickly as the bleeding payroll stuff does. So, yeah, it's an interesting market to get into for payroll.
Tinfoil hat moment here, but there's been talks about dividends, as in, like, if, you know, shareholder only close companies and your director only payrolls also having to declare dividends. I mean, if that came into play, if that was true, I don't think we've got the software to really manage that. Even the big boys would have to really think about a snazzy way of doing that, right? Like, going forward,
I mean, it strips out all your automation because it'd be a manual adjustment.
Exactly. And surely we'd have to charge for that. We can't provide that as a service. But are clients going to be, like, happy about that? Like, suddenly we're having to charge for something we've been doing perfectly happy for them.
We're already justifying confirmation statement price increases.
Yeah.
And the client's like, why has that gone up? So, I'm not here to justify company's house's decision, but I'm going to have to. So actually, me then having to justify why I'm charging more because HMRC and the government have brought in more legislation about dividend processes, that it leaves us on the back foot. That tarnishes our reputation because we're relied on to do the education part.
Yeah, exactly. And it, for us, it becomes also this whole management of resources yet again. Yeah, we can get the best software in the world to try and push it as best as possible where, you know, creates the minutes for us and the dividends for us, and thinking we can find all that, but then we're going to have some person to be there to process that. You know, like, we even more reliance on practice management software now, like Client Engager, to making sure that we deliver that service, making sure we do that. And again, if this isn't going to be connected somehow to either HMRC's API or the payroll software API, then that's another area where someone's forgot to update XYZ and we've not delivered the service. Like, it's another pressure point to us, right? I just feel like
the dividend part is, I can guarantee you, it's not saving us time anywhere else. It's doubling up our work, because I can guarantee you, we're still going to have to declare the bloody things on the self-assessment.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, 100%.
We just are. So it's actually, we're now having to declare it in two places for no benefit whatsoever.
Which is MTT argument all over again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Basically, we've just created, if this comes through and if this is, like, passed and this is how they go down, just create a whole new rod for our back. So,
yeah. Right. Let's head over to the comments.
Yes.
So Paul says, no one seems to reach out into the clocking systems or staff schedulers. bit further down. And there are a lot of versions out there for many different business types.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the ironic thing, though, Paul. Employment Hero, or what was KeePay, has had clocking systems and schedulers since 2018. So I've had that free of charge built into my software for 5 years, 6 years.
Yep. And how long ago did QuickBooks acquire T-Sheets, which is their equivalent of it?
QuickBooks have got it and have had it for years. So actually, there is solutions out there with this. And people just, I don't know, is that a lack of market research? Is it a lack of awareness? Is it a lack of products shouting about their functionality? Like, you know, I've got a client who's got 70 staff on a weekly payroll. They all enter their time through the Employment Hero app. The manager authorizes it. It comes into us. It populates it all into the payslips. We review the final numbers. We send it out for approval. It gets approved. It takes us no time at all.
Yeah. And I suppose, because one thing is that people go, oh, but that's another portal to maintain. That's another solution we've got to go through.
They're already in there. Doing exactly. Employees...
They're not in the client engager portal at any point, are they? They're not sat there. So actually, an employee having their own swag app or whatever app it is that they're using to get access to their payroll information, actually, they accept that these days, and they know they've got a portal for their employment, and that's where all the information is. And as long as we put enough of a reason for them to be in there, then they're more than happy to have another app to install to go through and push and it through.
If they've already got to go into that app to get their payslips and to get their P45s, P60s, submit holiday requests, etc. Like, there are people out there that have tried using Client Engager or Accountancy Manager or Centre to strong arm a client portal out of it for the client's employees.
Yeah. And it's like, upload payslips and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not what it's built for. It doesn't auto publish into there. Like, why are we making this difficult for ourselves? Like, a cloud solution should come with an employee portal. And we just need to train that behavior into our employees to go, right, if you want your payslip, that's where it is. We're not emailing it. We're not printing it off and giving it to you. That's all GDPR issues. This is where it is. If you want a holiday request, cool, put it through here. Like, it's, yeah. Again, like, it's all about processes and just saying, this is how the process works.
Yeah.
You don't go to McDonald's and tell them how they're going to cook your dinner. You don't tell the mechanic how they're going to fix your car or how they're going to service it in what order. We need to be more confident and go, no, this is how it works. Like, it just, that's it. That's how we work. And if you aren't willing to follow this process, which costs this much, then we're going to charge you more because it's going to cost us more to deliver it.
100%. And with Paul saying here that we deal with many clients who use independent time trackers, Clock Me In, Work Smarter, etc. That's brilliant. And it's great that you found a solution or they found a solution that works for them. But as going back to our point, like, the software, especially the small ones, don't have that resource to go and create the APIs and go from there. It's almost like, realistically, it should be those time tracking solutions that offer a really slick way of getting that data into a payroll and find ways. Because that's what Apen had to do, right? Apen of knocking on the door saying, I want to work with XYZ, and all these are payroll ones, and being told, well, yeah, you can do, but you're so far down the list that, you know, it's going to be a while till that's going to come into play. Whereas, you know, if and that's what Apen did, they just made it a really slick way so that we can just grab the data, put it in, and set and forget sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's still manual, but they're trying to find ways to make that process as smooth as possible. I think that's where, personally, any of those third-party apps, it's up to them to go, right, let's make it so one-click button, and it's a file that can go straight into software X and straight into software Y. That's where I think the push needs to be, because then that makes it better and a new USP for them to sell, right? Like, they can sell their software as a compatible with software, with Paywall Y and Paywall X and everything else. I think that's probably going to be a better solution, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, like, I think some of it is software vendors need to get better, but at the same time, there are software vendors out there that are already doing some of this stuff. And then the argument is, oh, that means change, and our clients don't like change, but you're asking for softwares to that you're using now to build that tool. So that still means change. We're going around in a circle here.
Yeah, exactly right.
So yeah.
Speaking of, cover off the last bits of comments, Ashley says, is this where paywall outsourcers come in and we just forget about it? Even that's struggling, right? Because they don't have the tools now to go out and do a bureau solution that's there. Like, they're even struggling at their, you know, when in theory, software shouldn't be an issue for them because they can price accordingly, they can get the staff in and everything else, but even they're struggling to find a slick solution, aren't they? And again, it's down to that innovation conversation we've just had and everything else goes with it.
Also, when you're dealing with what are price sensitive clients, like clients struggle to see the value in payroll.
Yeah.
They always have done. So for you to then outsource it to a payroll service provider and to put a bit of a markup on there so you're making a bit of profit for facilitating it, because you're the one that's going to get the questions as the accountant and bookkeeper, not the payroll person, from the employees and the employer. It's your knowledge that's going to be tested. And that might mean that you go back to the payroll people and ask those questions, but that's your time. So you need to account for that. And suddenly that plus the original cost plus software, it starts adding up.
It does. And then, yeah, sorry to hear that you've had a bad experience with Employment Hero, but yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, it's all been sorted there. Cheryl, right, what was our next topic?
We were talking about Apron there, so let's talk about Apron and a video you're about to release. I believe you think you're the next, you've been doing like iPhone battery test videos, but on Apron and QuickBooks and AutoEntry. So what have you been up to, Aaron?
So I did a video, I think it was 3 months ago, where I took, make sure I get this right, I took QuickBooks, in fact, I can tell you, I've got the thing in front of me. I took QuickBooks Receipt Capture, AutoEntry, Dex, Xero HubDoc, and FreeAgent. And I had four different receipts, processed through all of them, and we saw the results. How long did it take to go through? How accurate it was in terms of getting the information in? What was the user experience like? Basically, given my reviews on them. During that process, the Xero HubDoc one fell miserably. We don't want to need to talk about that one. FreeAgent, I tried to basically do what it's not designed to do, so it didn't do too well either. And then Dex had a massive issue in the upload, so we've kind of done that one. But AutoEntry and QuickBooks came out as really competitive in terms of, yeah, receipt capture, QuickBooks wasn't quite as accurate, but it was nice and easy to use. It was quick and everything else. So you kind of had your choice. Do you have accuracy that AutoEntry provided and extra bells and whistles and added cost, or do you have ease of use with QuickBooks? And we kind of left at that. But now a new challenger has approached, as we know. We've been playing around with it. We love the product. So I thought, well, QuickBooks and AutoEntry seem to have two, you know, competing options there. They have two options where you go through. Where does Apron sit in all this? And that's where we came and did very similar tests. Now, you've told me off air, you're a little concerned about the testing of this. So before I go any further, you tell me, outside looking in, how does it look?
So I saw your clickbait, shall we say?
Your teaser
clickbait. And my concern is you're looking at upload times, and from the moment you drop that file into that website to when's it available for me to deal with, that's only half the story, in my view. Because most clients, you don't care about how they upload throughout the month, and you come to it at the end of the month and deal with it, right? Whereas actually the bit I'm more interested in isn't the upload time. It's the, okay, great, it's in the product. How much manual intervention is there? I know on one of these products there's a bloody lot. On others there's a lot less, and there's also, and then once you've manually intervened with it, or so, is there any manual intervention? Mm-hmm. And if there's not, does it then do the next step for you, which is to publish to the accounting software? Now I know 2 out of 3 of the softwares you're looking at do the auto publishing part. But your favorite, the quickest one to upload, I mean, I'd argue all you've achieved there is you've moved documents into OneDrive or Dropbox, in effect. It's not really done anything with the documentation. So that's my concern, is you're just going, oh, how quick does it upload into the, is it available in the portal? It's like, well, there's no point of it being there in under a second if it's not read any of the information, etc., whereas something that's in there in 3 seconds has read all the information and populated all the fields.
Fair point. And I'll just premise this by the fact that that wasn't the only test. There was many tests, but that was one of the ones that was more interesting, put it that way. But I think I've upped the game. I think I've provided more of a fairer test this time around. I've gone from 4 uploads to 6, and each one of them has a special circumstance to them. So, for example, one of them, Al-Masur, you remember that nice little restaurant outside at the XL?
Yep.
One of the things they did on their receipt is they put their tips just below the total, the net figure, and then gave us a grand total, which basically makes it look like it's VAT. So I love using that receipt because you throw that at these ones and do they...
You've never met anyone that gets excited by oh, that's a different receipt.
But this is the test I'm going to. This is the level of data detail I'm going to, right? So the idea is, does that software grab that and bring it in? You'll be surprised to know which one did and didn't on that one, right? I've got my legendary Yo Sushi receipt. This is awful. It's got a line in it. Stuff's all over the place. I've seen it loads of time. There's a blurry... I purposely took a bad photo of one of them. How does it react to that?
Isn't it even possible on an iPhone, or did you have to get an Android to take...
I'd use the Android for that one, yeah, to dust it out, switch it on, charge it up, all that sort of stuff for it. And there was a USD one. How does it react? Even though my license I'm using isn't multi-currency, how does it react to it? I sent a non-invoice in, so it was an order for not an invoice. How did it react to that? And then finally was a split issue. So there was multiple VAT elements at the bottom of Costco invoice receipt. How does it was there? So I feel like I'm throwing enough variations there. It's not just, can it read the dates? Can it read the amounts? And that's why I ask. Date, total, VAT, memo, supply, category, and then that special element. Can I do fair? And I had 2 tests. One is you take it from the app. How does it go? So taking the photo of it. And then just so it's more consistent, that whole upload process where we literally, all six of those upload at the same time and we see what the results are. So yeah, speed's part of it, but then how accurate it is going forward. And I think that's a fairer test of what we have. Based on the limited resources we have, right? Like I don't have a team of people to sit there doing what do you call it? But I think there. But I know you're saying about the speed one being a non-issue, but it is in some circumstances. Like if you're coming to the end of tax deadline and someone's literally just dumped a load of receipts in there, you're going to want to speed that up, right? There's going to have to be a speed element to it that's going to be important, because time's money. You need to get that information in there. If you know it's taking so long, and my question is, why is it taking that time? Like why is it that a more premium product, which auto entry is it taking at least 10, 20, 30 times more than the competitor? It's got to be more than, actually.
I know the answer to that.
Go on, go for it.
Well, so we know Apron's saying they're bloody quick and it reads the document, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's 1 second or a minute, either way, you upload and it reads the document. Also, you can upload from WhatsApp. Just putting it out there. I'm guessing Apron. You didn't try that test with everyone, because he's the only Apron can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a reason that AutoEntry, Dext, HubSpot, HubDoc are all in trouble here. Because, again, when Apron comes along, because Apron's built on today's technology. Dext and AutoEntry, they're built on 5-10-year-old technology. If anything, they're coming to the end of their technology life cycle, and they need completely rebuilt to be maintain competitive functionality and stuff, and speed of development and speed of document processing and accuracy and stuff. In the same way, Xero and QuickBooks are both having to rebuild their reporting features.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because the technology is now dated and almost redundant.
Awesome. Yeah.
And the only way they can build and improve further reporting functionality is to replace the old technology with new technology. That's how softwares work. They generally get into a 5-10 year cycle of having to be replaced. Mm. You know, like there's a lot of changes in reporting in Xero and invoices in Xero and QuickBooks at the moment, and Sage don't seem to be doing any of that. Well, actually, if you look at who went into cloud technology first, Xero and QuickBooks were there first. So yes, Sage's is actually based on probably newer technology, which means they aren't going to face the pain points that QuickBooks and Xero are now facing, for another few years, but they will face it because technology has a shelf life. So, yeah, that's your first issue. And my understanding is there's still manual intervention and checks at some of these document processing softwares. Whereas we know with Apron, because it's built on today's technology, they don't need that manual intervention because they've got AI.
Or that manual intervention is very, very fast.
Like, I mean, I'm good.
Milliseconds fast.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say it's, that's the main reason for the differences at the moment is that, yes, you're paying for a premium product, but it's based on older technology, which will never have the same functionality and possibilities as today's technology, which Apron's going to use. But in 5 to 10 years, someone's going to come along and make Apron look antiquated. Because that's just how technology works.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose my question to everyone then, especially the audience, is what other tests can we do? Like, how else can we see if this is which one we should be looking at? I've tried to take cost out of it because I don't think it's too fair to like really throw cost into it at this point in time. But I could do a cost per transaction or something and see if that has any bearing on it. I just feel like that's a bit tricky, especially when you look at auto entry, for example. They have a multi-cost tier to it. Yeah. So the fact it can extract line items, fantastic, but that's a premium feature, right? And you've got to take that into consideration.
Yeah, and at what point do you go, well, Apron's a fixed fee for X amount of documents up to that? It's like, well, hang on, what's the average usage? That, because we've got to find a line to go, right, well, if you processed X amount of documents in auto entry, it will cost this. If you do the same number of documents in Apron, it will cost this. If you do the same number of documents in QuickBooks, it will cost your happiness. but yeah, it's, I mean, other than the speed test, which you found quite interesting, without giving too much away from this upcoming video, was there anything else that you went, oh, wasn't expecting that?
There was definitely, we know there's been some big upgrades to one of those platforms over the past thing. Been talking about it. I've chatted about it. You haven't because you don't use it that often, right?
Don't use it. Let's
say if we compare to my last test to this test, we didn't go in the direction we were expecting to go. That's really, really like, yeah. So that's kind of one of the big parts of I took away from it is just, you know, how it went that way around. I think one thing we need to take into consideration, I think you're right, is that auto publishing element of it. But my problem with auto publishing is it's so hard to test because what I'm doing this one is I'm telling it something and then telling it again, right? So in theory, especially, and you can see this actually happening, the solution's learning, right? It may have made a mistake round one, but round two it's made up for it because it now knows to do X with Y and everything else, right? And that's where auto publishing becomes so powerful and so reliable. Yeah, you're almost teaching it what to do, and then from there on in you can push it through. But how do you do a test where you auto publish and keep it fair when it will maybe the first time it's ever seen that supplier, for example, or anything else? Unless we have the same supplier pushing through, it's going to be really difficult, isn't it, to do an auto?
I don't think it's something we need to test because it's a yes-no question. Does it have the functionality? So,
but then we need to know how accurate that auto-publishing is.
So if we've already tested the speed, we've already tested the accuracy of the document being read, mm-hmm. Whether you're reading it and going, yes, publish, or whether... Like on the first document of any supplier, it's always going to need a manual intervention because you need to teach it, whichever software you're using. If you've then gone, that's a Booker receipt, that Booker's always this for this client, this is the rule for that client, and you've gone and turned on auto publish because you're confident in that, you know, we've already tested the accuracy, we know what that accuracy rating is, we know we can teach it. So, like, yeah, a random restaurant that you've not been to before, then of course that's going to need manual intervention. Yeah,
agreed.
But a client using Screwfix, and they're a building company, but I know what that is every time. the system knows how to read that kind of formatted invoice. We've taught it everything it needs to know. If I've got to sit there and still go publish, publish, or it doesn't even show up on my interface because it's already done, that's the test. It's a yes-no question of, we give bonus points if you've got auto-publish. You don't get those bonus points if you've not, because I've still got to, regardless of how accurate you are, I've still got to press the bleeding publish button. That still takes time. So I think that's the bit.
I completely agree with that. I think the only test element, though, should be, is it actually auto-publishing? Because we've seen that with software before where, oh, there's this auto-publish button, tick that button and everything's fine. But then you send in something from the same supplier and it's not actually published because of XYZ issue, right? And I think that somehow, I don't know how to quantify that test yet, but I feel like that's the test that needs to be done.
That's a much bigger test of, if I upload the same invoice 5 times to all softwares, does it auto-publish it? Or does it, how accurate is it going, no, that's a duplicate.
Yeah,
exactly. Does it flag it 4 times to say, right, we've done one, but these four are duplicates? Or does it go, oh, yeah, we've done two, we think these three are duplicates? And it's like, well, hang on, I gave you 5 of the same thing. Like, so in Dext, for example, if it couldn't read the invoice number, it would assign its own invoice number, RB something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which meant it was quite easy for duplicates to slip through.
Exactly. Because
I've scanned this one in, or I've uploaded the PDF of this one, I've taken a picture of this one, and the invoice number is slightly blurred. Dext can't pick it up, so it's assigned its own one, which means it's not a duplicate. Which means we're then going to things like Xenon to spot duplicates, because Xenon doesn't go with invoice numbers necessarily. It goes, or date, value, etc. We'll supply it, like we'll try and match it up for you. So, yeah, I would say it's a test of whether it has it or not. And then we need to find a way of testing how scrupulous the auto-publish is and how safe it is without just publishing everything. Does it spot invoice numbers or dates or something? Like, that's where the accuracy comes in.
I like that. And my final question would be, how precious should we be that we set a whole new file up each and every time?
How do you mean?
So should it be that every time we conduct a test, the next time I do this in a year's time, 6 months time, whatever it's going to be, should we then set a whole new fresh license up from scratch and see what it's like from fresh? Or what I've been doing now is just using the same file I've always used in my testing file. So is there an element there where it goes, oh, you know, it's done that? And I really like Natasha's point here. Do you think I should include bank match, paperwork match, that sort of elements to it as well? Statement reconciliation would be amazing, but I think there's only one solution that does that, right? So they've already won that.
Yeah. And also, I'd also question, like, it very much depends on your client base, but 95% of my clients don't get statements because it's all pay at the time of order type stuff. It's all online purchases. Like, I deal with so few statements. Actually, it's a real non-issue that if the software's got it or not. Whereas I completely get other people like, I've got to have this tool. Yeah, and if you don't have that tool, I'm not talking to you.
Like bookkeepers, because that's a huge part of their
email. Yeah, even bookkeepers, like we do bookkeeping, but 95% of our clients don't have statements coming through because it's just not relevant to the way their business operates and their suppliers operate. For me, a statement, supplier statement reconciliations is a complete non-issue. But for other firms whose clients are potentially bigger, more construction-based, whatever the industry is, that have those supplier statements, I completely understand why it's a really important tool. But not every document software is going to be targeting that industry. Or that group of industries, they're targeting more consultant on the road who's just buying coffees, food, fuel, etc. They're the ideal solution for that. You know, like that's why Free Agent and QuickBooks is ideal for those one-man bands, because it's the document processing is really minimal.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you're dealing with higher volumes of purchases and online orders, Amazon orders, etc., then Auto Entry, Apron, Dext, great. Whereas if you're getting into the, here's a statement, I need to reconcile all these invoices against that and make the statement payment, blah, blah, then yes, auto entry is the one for you because that's got the tool. So just because like Apron or QuickBooks doesn't have that statement reconciliation tool in, doesn't mean they're wrong. No. Just means it's not targeting the pain points that your audience have. And ultimately, if that's the pain points of your audience and only one solution's got that one feature, then that's your answer. You've got, there's no one else there to compare it to.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I'm not being audited by this, am I? So, but I do feel like there's definitely a element of improving the test going forward. And I think I think like what Natasha says, there's definitely some more in-depth tests that we could try just to see how powerful it is. And now we've got to give Apron some time to embed. It's not even properly released yet, right? So give them an opportunity to embed. But I think like definitely
bank match, I'd question whose responsibility is that feature. If I've put a bill into QuickBooks, do I want Apron, Auto Entry, or whoever to go, we think this matches the bank transaction here in their product? Or do I just expect QuickBooks to go, there's a bill, there's a payment, that's the bank match? Where are we doing that work? Personally, we do it in QuickBooks and Xero. I have no interest in the document processing tool doing it for us. But again, that's down to personal workflows.
I think this is down to the APIs need to be opened up. And we've said this a lot of times. Right? The best feature that QuickBooks Receipt Capture has by a country mile is that the items in the full review tab, so the items you haven't processed yet, have access at the moment to their receipt capture data. So if you're going through and you find a Costco receipt payment, you can click on it. And if the client's uploaded it for you, you can find out straight away what they bought. Like, it will just show you what they bought and you can allocate accordingly, right? That to me is quite powerful. That's a really unique element of it, but that shouldn't just be able for the receipt capture, QuickBooks receipt capture functionality. That should be able to everyone to see, right? Like, that full review tab should have opportunity for auto entry to look at, for Apron to look at, and everything else, because we want to encourage clients to send stuff in on a regular basis. In reality, do we need to look at every single transaction that comes through that the auto entry? Probably not, right? Through receipt capture, the whole point of having receipt capture is that we then can only need to focus on the ones we need to focus on, right? Have they bought a capital item? Is there going to be some sort of VAT issue on this? Is this something that we need to figure out? If you know, it's a question mark to what they've actually bought. We've seen it on the bank statement, but it could be from anything. Costco's a huge like example of that, isn't it? Right, there's so many different things they could have bought from there. Yeah, Amazon, exactly, right? So we want to encourage our clients to send us as much stuff as we can. I think to your point now, that workflow, we shouldn't have to be forced down a particular workflow, which we are now. We got to process, then go to the bank and try and figure it out. What we should be doing is what workflow works for us. Because from some clients' point of view, just leaving items on the full review is what, you know, is how they like to do it. Like, they like seeing that we've processed 95% of them and we've left 5% because we don't know what they are and we've asked them questions and we've done all that. So I feel like we shouldn't be hamstrung into a particular workflow. We should be given the tools so we can do a workflow that works for us. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it takes two to tango. And why does Xero and QuickBooks want to give their competitors that advantage that they're trying to use to encourage you to use their tools?
Agreed. But it also opens up so much more possibilities for us, right? Yep. If Client Engager could know how many transactions through Xenon or whatever, or however the solution's going to be, but if Client Engager could know how many transactions are left to full review, that's a huge bit of insight that, as a practice management solution, we could do wonders with that data, right? Like, that there's so much possibility. That data is at the moment being held against, you know, against our will almost. I feel like the conversation for this should be, right, how do we encourage these to open up those APIs? But
we
can keep talking about the same issue time and time again. Should we go make sure that the comments...
Let's go through the comments,
Where did I get to? We talk about industry sound with software, but will receipts become standard format? Surely that would solve most of the pain points of receipt capture. Is that possible?
If you look at the EU, Yeah. So in Italy, for example, everything's pretty much the same standard format.
Yeah.
Full stop. But the interesting thing is, so the EU countries have gone for this e-invoicing thing first, where there's standardization in layout, formats, information, requirements, etc., and the need for them all to be electronic. But they haven't started looking at MTD. So Europe seems to have gone, we're going to do e-invoicing, and from there, we're going to build our MTD solution. Whereas the UK has gone, no, we'll do MTD and then look at e-invoicing. Like, there's a reason Xero just turned off their old invoicing and turned on the new one. It's so that they're ready for e-invoicing to come to the UK. I just don't see it happening this side of 2030. So I think it will come. But also, how many people got upset when QuickBooks turned off that advanced invoice layout formatting feature? Mm-hmm. Because people use that as a advertising board. That's where they advertise their services and stuff. So, you know, the amount of statements and stuff you get where someone's put a special offer at the bottom of a statement. Are we saying that's no longer allowed if we standardize invoices and receipts? That's going to annoy a lot of people because they see that as it's their document. They've got every right to format it in their brand, using their font and using their layouts that's personal to their personal brand and putting their adverts and stuff on it.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think for me, instead of standardizing, I think we just need to push for the blockchain idea. Like blockchain, you know, yes, it has its cryptocurrency foundations and everything at the moment, but the whole idea of blockchain is that if we release something to the world, not only does it go to user A and user B, but also gets put into a database somewhere, right? If we put the receipts and invoicing into a blockchain, every time an invoice or something has to go through a block, like we mandate that, however that system works, then suddenly we don't need paper receipts. We don't need anything else. We just need access to the blockchain to be able to grab the information we need to go process. HMRC would love that, right? That would solve so many issues for them. Like they must
drool at the idea. Floppy disk drives can't handle blockchain.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah. But the idea of that data though, it becomes mandatory then that you to invoice someone to make a transaction, a payable transaction, goes via the blockchain. Whew, that's a dystopia world that we could all kind of see the benefit of, apart unless you're trying to be dodgy, right? But for everyone else who just want to get on with our lives, it sounds amazing. Is that realistic? I don't know. I feel like the technology's not quite there yet. Yeah. Real quick then, because we've only got a few user study, ask your clients what they like using. Yeah, I can definitely put
it. But then you end up back with your payroll situation where they're all using their own timesheets and you get annoyed because it's not efficient.
True.
If you do that, you could end up with having people going Apron, Auto Entry, Dext, QuickBooks. And we've already said that's inefficient by letting them have all the different options.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than going, which one do you prefer? Okay. And going back to them a week later, going, sorry, you're a minority. You're going to use this one. Yeah. So you've opened yourself up to an issue there.
You have. Even we've got a technology where we can kind of be as fluid as we need to because they all send it to one location and we do.
The way you've done it is the way forwards.
But that's not realistic for everyone to reach out. And also, that causes us issues, right? Because then we have to maintain that solution. We have to keep it going and everything else. So there's always a but to it, right? QBAs doesn't learn. No, it's definitely doing. You'll learn that in hours. It definitely doesn't learn at the moment in time. But yeah, we can only hope that those updates they promise will
come
to that. Go for it.
Question here for Cheryl is, at what point do you stop getting annoyed by it not learning, except it doesn't learn, and go and use Apron, Dext, Auto Entry or something instead? Right. Instead of waiting for QuickBooks to solve the problem, because QuickBooks have got a lot of problems to solve, as does Xero, Free Agent, everyone. At what point do we go, this is a problem, I need to accept it's not going to potentially be a priority to QuickBooks or whoever. This tool overcomes that problem, I'm going to use that instead. Like, a lot of people sit there going, still waiting for QuickBooks to fix receipt capture. It's like, it's not a priority for QuickBooks. It's a free tool.
That's adequate for what it needs to do, right, for the end user.
So I've said it's not fit for my purpose. So I use Apron now. But with accountants and bookkeepers are very good at going, this doesn't work how we want it to. That might be the case, but there might be other softwares that do.
Yeah, because it was never designed to be a bureau solution, right? No.
It was never designed for accountants or bookkeepers.
And users, they think it's magical. We can debate that it doesn't do X or doesn't do Y and everything else. But from an end user point of view, what, they take a photo and that magically appears in their system, right? That's all they ever need, right? For them, it's ticking all the boxes. And I think, but also counter to your point you said not long ago, that means you've got to ask the client to change, right? And that's going to be the difficult conversation. That's going to be the difficult bit to go.
Yeah, but you know what? When I did ask the clients to change from Dex to Auto Entry and now into Apron, we've not had any issues.
They're just like, where are we going next?
You know what? As long as you can give them an upside.
Yeah.
So the moment I turn around to my clients, I go, oh, by the way, with this new system, you can just WhatsApp us the details.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah. There's a reason for me to move now, right?
Yep.
After 3 years, QB still tries to rename one of my staff in H&M. Yeah, exactly.
Move on.
I have electrician. It will not put his materials to cost sales. Repairs maintenance is the most common one. Yeah. And again, we can even tell QuickBooks that
it's accept it. Get a tool that will do it auto that you can teach.
I don't remember most of the music of duplicates comes up picking up not so one as L. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's although I feel like Apron's kind of nailed that, but yeah.
I've not seen that issue in Apron yet.
Yeah. You can set default account for supplies in QB, but it doesn't but that doesn't feed into anything at the moment. It's just kind of it's only for when you're creating bills. That is definitely something that needs to sort it. That would help. I'd love statement matching and love bank match too. So yeah, we'll put it on the list. Thank you for that, Sue. Maybe bring Hub Dot back in. Do you think it's available yet? I'll let you decide on that one. So the client won't pay for AE. I'm waiting for Apron public release. Yeah, definitely. And
but I go back to my comment. Your client won't tell the mechanic how to service their car. Or they might try, but the mechanic will tell them to sod off. Like, yeah, we don't tell Asda how they will stock their shelves. We just have to go in every other week to find they've rearranged the shelves. I need to go and find the product I'm still looking for. I think we, as an industry, we need to go, no, this is how we work.
Yeah.
If you don't want to work that way, it's actually going to cost you more.
Yeah, yeah. But I do feel like when Apron releases funny, it'll be an opportunity, right, to bring it in. It seems like HubDoc's not ready yet.
Yeah. So you've not got any confidence in HubDoc, in Xero's end-to-end solution?
Yeah, I mean, go back 3 months ago, 6 months or whatever, my last video, you'll see exactly how I think of HubDoc. Well, that's it, I think.
The end of the day. We've overrun by 5 minutes. It's going to be one of those days where I'm just going to be stubborn, isn't it? And just go, nope, you're wrong. Nope, change, solve the problem, move on. My team are in for a long day.
Cool. We need to make sure that everyone remembers that we are going live Wednesday at 12:30.
Right? Yes, we are going to be live across several channels, but mainly LinkedIn. With Mr. Ashley Leeds, we're going to be talking all things AccountX and what you can look forward to at the event, not just from us with our grid walks and podcast pit stops. We're going to have to change that name one day. But from all the other things that are going on, there's absolutely tons of great speakers all being announced. There's loads of great exhibitors, loads of things going on. So we'll talk all things AccountX on Wednesday with Mr. Ashley Leeds on his podcast channel. So, yeah, Aaron, what have you got coming up this week?
Well, the video goes live tomorrow, finding out results on how Apron versus QuickBooks versus Auto Entry went. So that'll be interesting to see what the reaction to that's going to be. From that, it is just literally getting my head down. We've got lots of projects outside at the moment. We just need to get our head round and sorted. Funnily enough, there's a lot of conversation with vendors this week. I've got a lot of meetings with Employment Hero, Client Engager, lots of different opportunities there to talk. And be good to see how that goes on. What about yourself, Johan? Any excitement your end that we should be looking out for?
Tax return overwhelm.
Already?
We've had over 20% of our clients send their questionnaires back already. And I've not even looked at what's coming over the weekend yet. But I know there's more coming on top of that. So, yeah, just shows if you train your clients and use the right processes and systems, life can be overwhelming still because you've got to do it in April instead of January.
Now, if only there was an OCR technology that could grab that data and put it into attachment.
It's called Johan.
Yeah. You're not quite as fast as a Aprons API, though. I'm going to...
I'm faster than most of other people.
Faster than auto entry, put it that way.
set me a challenge. So I'm cracking on. I've got a week in the office dealing with Client Engager stuff. Lots of big plans coming up with Client Engager for events and stuff like that. So watch this space. It should be another busy week as always. So yeah, brilliant. Right. Well, we will love you all and leave you there. Thank you very much for taking part, commenting, sending us your views. That's been fantastic. We've hit a bit of a debatable subject there, I think. Very close to everyone's hearts and how it's one of those subjects that just branches off into all different areas of business. So yeah, great topic to discuss. So thank you for bringing that to the table, Aaron. And of course, guys, if you are listening back to the podcast, why not join us and share your opinions live at 8:30 every Monday on whatever social media channel you decide, because we are there from all of them with no problems at all. And we will see you all next week at 8:30 live on Monday morning.
Excellent. Can't wait, everyone. See you then. Bye for now.
Goodbye.